Hello, and welcome to Drilling Insight. I'm your host, Jeremy Verduzco, editor of National Driller Magazine, and I'm joined today by drilling trainer, National Driller writer, and co-host, Brock Yordy. Hi, Brock. How are you doing?
Doing good. Hello, everybody.
And with us today is Travis Flint, owner of Thomas Flint & Son Waterwell Drilling in Cadillac, Michigan, and vice president of the Michigan Groundwater Association. How are you doing this morning, Travis?
Just fine. Thanks for the invite, and hello, everybody.
All right. So the idea for this discussion came from a separate, broader interview, and the question there was, how long were you a driller before stepping off the platform? So it got me thinking, how do you do that? How does a driller step away from drilling and into a management role? How does a contractor grow his business enough to hire someone else to drill and work on the business and not in it? So Travis had his own path through all of these issues, so we brought him on to talk about it. Thanks for joining us, Travis. First off, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
My name is Travis Flint. We're in Cadillac, Michigan. I'm a fifth generation well driller. Our company started in 1901. Basically, I've been doing this through high school and college, and then kind of got a job doing some other things for about 8 years. And then I came back in 2003 and have been at it full time since then. So basically, I drilled my first well when I was 15, probably like everybody else. My dad just said, I'll see you later. You know what to do. Call me if you got questions. And it's been going ever since.
Okay.
So I love to start with this question, and you kind of just outlined it. Did the industry choose you, or did you choose the industry? And it sounds like you, like me, decided maybe I'll try something else. So what did you do?
It's kind of like anything else. I went to college, met some guys. Guy's dad ran a company and said, hey, you want a job? I said, sure. So I think that was probably the best thing I did, was go away for a while and try to get some different life experiences. And then I told my wife when we got married that, you know, I won't work for the other guy. Eventually, I want to do my own thing. And that about scared her. So then in 2003, I was feeling that urge to do something different, and contacted my dad at that time and said, hey, what do you think? And we talked a few things, and yeah, in 2003, March, we moved back, and the rest is history.
Okay.
So you came back in 2003 as a driller or as a helper?
Basically a driller / owner.
Okay. How long did you drill before you transitioned to?
About 15 years, I was on the rig, doing both, running and drilling. So, and then we found a guy that came on board about 3 years ago that's basically my full-time driller, which has allowed me to step back a little bit and start running the company, not try to be the company.
Mm-hmm. So when you did make the move, you know, what were some of the circumstances at the time, and what were the goals you were looking to accomplish when you did step off the platform?
I think a lot of it was, I think when you look at it, a lot of our industry, a lot of our guys, it's all, you know, son, father, and to actually grow the business as an owner, you've got to get off the drilling platform because you're more important to keep the company going for sales, looking at new technologies, other business opportunities, staying ahead of markets and all that kind of stuff. Well, you can't do that if you're spending 8-10 hours on a drill rig. And so I think it's vital to find somebody that you can trust to put on that, so you can step back and take a look at that and say, okay, do I need a new rig? Do I need a new service truck? Do we need to hire another service guy? And you know, how are we doing on insurances, checking vendors and suppliers? And again, there's not enough hours in the day to do all of that. If you're running the rig, doing the quotes, doing the purchasing, doing the HR stuff, all that kind of thing. So okay. I think that was one of my goals, was to do that. And then to eventually create something that if something happened to me, I've got things in place so that the business keeps moving. And then I can kind of step back or step out, or, you know, and not have to worry too much because I got parts in place to keep it going.
Okay. So what do those look like? What does the business look like now? I mean, how are you able to manage and keep things going? You know, what does the business look like now? How have you gotten closer to those goals?
Well, right now we've got a full-time driller and a helper. So they're running the rig. I've got a service crew or hookup crew, basically, that's doing that stuff. And so that's pretty much freed me up to either fill in when I need to. Like today, we're going to cable tool a rig, you know, cable tool a well. So I'm going to go back on the platform here and go drill. But, yeah, you know, it's things like that. So I think, again, you got to have the right people in the right positions, and have that full-time driller that you can trust, a service guy that you can trust, to make this whole thing work. And that's the only way you can do it. And then now I can spend that time, you know, doing things like this, you know, doing, maybe doing some trade shows, things like that, and then trying to get my guys to that kind of stuff. So that's how I got it set up now, is with those guys there.
Okay.
You know, that's interesting. You say you're going to step back on the platform today to cable tool. You know, that's one of those things that we learn over time in the whole, you know, father-son tribal, passing it down to the next generation. Your driller, how did you find your driller? Was he with another family, or what? Where did he come from?
He actually, he drilled for a geothermal company out of Hudsonville, and he lives like in Everett, which is about 20 minutes from here. And just, I think he was looking to find a job in this area and not have to drive that far. So he called me one day and I said, sure. Didn't know if I was really hiring at that point. So I said, come on up. So he came up and, you know, the rig was, it was in like February, I think. So nothing was really running on. So we walked out and he walked into the garage and goes, I like what I see. And I'm like, what? And he's like, that's the exact same kind of rig that I ran at this other company. I said, you're hired. and so, yeah, so that's how that worked. And so he's been with us for 3 years. And then my service guy, recently I was able to buy another company. And so we kind of basically doubled in size. And okay. He came along with that other company. I brought him in that way. And so, yeah, so those two guys, and then now I just, family business, either myself fills in, or, you know, kids from college, or we do have an extra helper too that's working with us full time. So, but yeah, that's how he came to me, is he just made a phone call, came up, walked in the garage, said he liked the rig, and I said, well, you're hired. So kind of a simple thing.
So from your perspective, I mean, you obviously, you went away, you have college, you've probably put parts of your college training to work. Is college required if you're going to make the move that you do to run the business instead of working in the business?
No, I don't think so. I think probably some of the better businessmen are like guys that have just, I think, just a common sense. For me, I just went to college because it was a thing to do when I was coming out of high school. And then I don't think you need a college degree. I think if you can find a teacher mentor kind of a guy, like you come into a company that's got an older guy that may be looking to get out and he can kind of teach you. I think some of the things are just basic common sense. Mm-hmm. I think you know, go to the trade shows, go to the drilling schools, go to the motor schools that the suppliers offer. And I think you can get a wealth of knowledge there. I really think probably a big thing would be is finding a mentor, someone that you trust that is in a business already, maybe not even in your business, mm-hmm. but has been successful in another market that you can maybe bounce ideas off of, run things past, you know, and just have them be an honest, say, yes, that's a good idea, or no, that's going to cost you big time. So does college help? I think it does. you know, a little bit, but do you need to have a college degree? I mean, I don't think you really need to have one personally. I think, you know, I think we've talked about like trades are becoming a bigger issue. Again, I think just teaching, go to the industry, they do enough teaching styles. And I think just invest in that, you know, and I always tell my continually invest learning, never stop. I mean, I think that's the big thing. And, you know, find a good accountant, find a good banker, find a good lawyer. And those are the three things. I think if you can find good guys like that, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, get your team together. So one thing that that made me think of is as you're, you know, bringing in other people to do functions that you're not doing in the business, how do you manage that where you're, how do you let go a little bit? Because no one's ever going to do it as perfect as you do it.
Right. That's a tough question, because usually business owners are type A personalities. I'll come home and I'll say something and my wife will be, well, they didn't do it like you wanted to. And I did have one guy at one time said, he was getting in an argument with my grandfather. And finally he just told him, guess what? My last name's not on that truck. And so I try to remember that I tell the guys, look, I want you to have the power to do what you need to do. Call me if you have questions, like tough ones. But at the end of the day, if it looks like you would want it done, and you're proud of your work, that's all I can ask. I mean, make it look good, you know, because this business obviously is, if you do a good job, you got a good customer, they'll like tell everybody else, and that's how we'll get more business. But it's been a little difficult, but I just keep telling myself, if I don't learn to delegate and to give up some of that control, I'll never get off the platform completely. Yeah. And you'll always be stuck. And even though they don't do it the way you do it or take twice as long as you do it, at the end of the day, if it gets done, the customer's happy, you know, I think that's the best that you can do.
Okay.
So with what you said about finding a good mentor, you know, that's really important to find a good mentor, and you've stepped off the platform and you're leading and developing your business. Outside of college and trades, what are some of the things you would tell a young driller that so that they could step off the platform and be able to do the same that you're able to do? What are the other things we need to learn beyond college and trade? What are things that have helped you?
I would say in my other job, you know, probably one of the best jobs you can do in high school if you wanted to is work at a restaurant. I mean, learn people skills is a big thing that because you're gonna find all kinds of people and know that there's gonna be some times like, hey, if you did everything that you could do and you feel good about what you did and that person's still mad, that's beyond your control. I mean, if you feel like you've done it. And then secondly, I would say, when I tell myself one thing, just worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's got its own problems. Today will have its own problems. I said, you got to learn that you could have a schedule at 7:30, and we probably all know this, and by 7:40, you can get a phone call or two, and then boom, your whole schedule is gone. Or it's changed, or this emergency come up. And so I tell them, you know, just, you know, try to remain flexible. And just, again, yeah, just remain flexible. Just try to worry about things that you can deal with today. Know that you don't have control over everything. And just at the end of the day, if you do the best work that you can do, and you can sleep well at night, whatever that other person says or does, you can't control that. And that'd be some of the other things I would say you got to try to learn.
Okay. So tell me about, I don't know if you have a mentor like you're speaking about, but how do I go about finding a mentor in the industry who can help me grow?
I would say my mentor was a guy that I was fortunate enough, I met him through my church, but he was in the mud industry. He sold to like mud to the oil fields. Mm-hmm. I don't think the mentor, just, I would say, look for someone that's maybe older, that's in, he could be in a car dealership. I don't, you know, I mean, whatever, but he's done well. You know, they've got a good reputation. They've got a good business. And then I think you can honestly approach them. I think most people would, you know, if I had a 25-year-old come ask me, hey, you want to meet? Sure. I think most people will do that. So don't be afraid to go ask and just say, hey, I'm thinking, can I have an hour a week maybe of your time, or half an hour, you know, and you meet for a couple months. And then maybe I think you'll develop that relationship, because my mentor, I can still call him at any time and say, hey, I've got this question, or this doesn't make sense. What do you think? And he'll give me the honest answer. So yeah, I think it's better if you can find somebody maybe outside of the industry, so that they don't have a clue. And I think they'll look at it differently. And they may ask a question that you'd be like, oh, I never thought of it that way. That might actually help your business, you know, and switch it in a total different way that you never thought you would even go.
Yeah, that's a good point, that someone outside of the industry can look on a problem with fresh eyes. And right. And business is business, whether you're running a well drilling company, or you're running a car dealership, or, you know, the restaurant at the corner. You
right.
Know, it's all.
Yep.
And I would like to add, from the adjunct position of that, you need both. You need many mentors. Mm-hmm. What's helped me in my career is having a Rolodex to call. And what's been cool is, you know, I've known you a long time, Travis, and you've always offered help to people in the community of the industry. And you've started good discussions. You know, I've seen it on social media. I've seen it amongst us in just mud, or what's the next option from using a mud pan to using a mud system. So, you know, being an early adopter and having many people to call upon is critical.
Right. Yeah. And I think, yep. And then, yeah, that way you get a breadth of knowledge, because as a business owner, you could be, I think we tend to get tunnel vision, because it's like, oh, I only see, you know, that one way. And that's where that flexibility comes in. And just because it's been done the way that my grandfather did it, or my dad did it, you know, it has to always be that way. I don't think so. And you asked about the business goals. I mean, it's just, you know, I know my dad and I have probably quarreled a little bit, because I think things a little differently than he does, or I want to take it in a little bit different direction. Or we want to adopt the technology, you know, and I think that, I've been fortunate enough, my dad has just let me do that. But I think, again, that, yeah, just the more knowledge, or the more questions you can ask, and the more learning you can do, you know, that's the main thing for me personally, is I tell my kids, never stop learning. You can always learn something every day, either from, yeah, calling up Bo and say, hey, man, have you ever drilled in this thing? Or what does this look like? You know, or what do you think? And then, yeah, you get that quick response. Perfect. Hey, it worked, or I learned something. Tried something different. And I think, yeah, that's how it stays successful. And I think that's how any young guy that wants to get off that, you know, don't be afraid. I don't know a lot of things. I just know, I tell my kids, just have the phone numbers, like Bo said, have the Rolodex, because there are guys that are experts in their field. Well, boom, I'll call him up, because, you know, and that's as a business owner, you can't know everything. And I think that's the other thing, that's a fallacy. Is everybody, you know, why not? No, it's okay. I'm big enough and man enough to know. I don't know. But I'm not afraid to make a phone call.
Yeah.
So five generations, there's a whole, you know, century of technology there, you know. And so, you know, you talk about adopting new technology, you know, 1930 was the first portable drill rig. You know, and you said 1901, the family started. There's a lot of technology. And you say your father and you crawled from, you know, different things. That's impressive. So how did you talk about new technology? I know you have a mud system you run versus a mud pan. So how did you get there?
I think a lot of it was, I think it was just willing to try it and willing to make the investment. you know, like looking at the prognosis, when we talked about the mud system, I think, you know, you and I both would talk quite a bit about it and just like, yeah, it's expensive, but let me tell you, you know, when we tried it and we did the sand content and all that testing stuff, you know, my dad, when he sees it, especially I think in the older generation, when they see the results,
yeah,
he's like, wow, you know, this really works.
Yeah.
And I think that's really helped him, you know, come on board. So when I want to try something new or like, you know, variable speed drives, there's a lot of old schoolers out there. Well, a tank and a switch works. It does. But if the customer's wanting a variable speed drive, then we need to listen to the customer. Again, we tried one. He was amazed at how well it pumps, and now he wants to sell them all the time. You know, so I think that it's that, just that working relationship, and just also know that I'm running it, and so I need to make decisions that make us better. And the, again, if he doesn't agree with it, it's that's fine. But I'm trying to get us to the next 20 years or maybe another generation. And I think also you talked a little bit about the businesses is if we can bring technology in, it might even help bring the younger generations in a little bit faster, you know, because again, I think we talked like your picture. I mean, not a lot of guys want to sit and get muddy and stand outside in 90 degree weather or it's raining and pouring down rain and thinking, why am I out here? But if you can make it so that it's, you know, more than just a job, hey, we got some technology, you know, we're trying out the leading in our field of doing this, you might be able to attract, you know, that younger generation and better help.
Yeah, the folks that walk around looking down at their phone all the time, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. They expect you, your business to be all in the cloud, all appified, for lack of a better word, and, you know, they're not going to come if you don't.
Correct.
So, did you have any other questions, Brock?
No, you know, Travis has dropped some amazing knowledge this morning, and I'm just taking it in.
Yeah, for sure. So, thanks, Travis. So, I think a lot of our audience either, you know, they have the goal of stepping off the platform, or they want to be the next one to step on. So, I think you've given us a lot to think about, and you know, trades are really often get undersold. So it's great to hear about someone who's out there just killing it, you know, on the successful path in the trade. So I thought, you know, the one really interesting aspect of this is I hear that a lot in drilling in particular where people left, you know, they grew up in it, they go away, and it always kind of pulls you back. So Travis, that's in your story. Brock, that's in your story a little bit too, right?
Yeah, you know what? It's there's something cathartic about bringing water out of the ground. Like, there's many things you can do, but short of us making an air machine, I mean, making water come out of the ground, we're providing life. You show up on a job, you leave, and that family has water again, or that community, or that farm. It's I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It's what drives me because it's so important. And I think many people in our industry, what do you think, Travis?
I agree. I tell my kids, it's one of the few jobs I've ever had that, you know, you didn't have anything working. And when I leave, I either got water coming out of the ground, like a well's actually moving, or water's back into a house. It's kind of a gratifying job. At the end of the day, you know, I had this problem, we got it figured out, and now everybody's got water, and yeah, it actually works. Looks like I got something accomplished today. So yeah,
you made a big mess, but you got something accomplished.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll wrap up today's episode. Thanks again to Travis Flint. And Travis, where can the audience learn more about you?
You can, like I said, you're more than welcome. FlintWellDrilling.com is our website. If you want to go up there, and if you want to contact me with any kind of questions or anything, our phone number's right up there. I'd be happy to help. I'd be happy to mentor anybody over the Zoom. However, I'll help you any way I can. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks again. And visit www.nationaldriller.com for the latest drilling news and, course, for more videos like this one. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And see you next time on Drilling Insight. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.